This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Friday, end of the week. It's a gorgeous day out there and it looks like it's going to be a pretty nice weekend. You are listening to The Pulse 107.7 and you can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. It is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion and welcome to Food for Thought. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Carol. So just walking into the station today made me realize that most of the days this summer that I've walked down that sidewalk up to the Beacon Building have been nice. I mean, it's been a minority of days that were either cloudy and almost no rain. I mean, we all are painfully aware that most of us have received very little rain this summer. Our lawns are showing that.
I know, mine is for sure.
But other parts, you know, in our listening area have probably been drenched. So, but in Manchester, not so much. And it's sunny almost every day. I said, when word gets out, people from San Diego might want to be moving up here. Because real estate is so much cheaper.
True.
We're close to the ocean.
It's true.
But, yes.
Yeah, we have very bad winters, though.
Well, maybe
San Franciscoans, they wouldn't like that.
No, probably not. Although San Francisco's climate isn't that great. I mean, it's in the 50s and 60s much of the
true.
Year. San Diego, different story. This is what San Diego was like, you know. Year round, actually a little cooler than this.
Daryl lived there for almost 20 years.
Oh my!
Yeah, he loves San Diego.
Well, who doesn't? And that's why it's so darned expensive.
Yeah,
paying for all that sunshine.
Yeah,
not a cloud in the sky.
No, you're right, Jay Dog. There is not a cloud in the sky, and I'm not sure when it turns for the worst. I think late Saturday, early Sunday, we might get a little front coming through.
Yeah, a little bit, but for the most part, it looks pretty good. So
then it cools off next week to about average. And fall begins early Wednesday morning, the 23rd, about as late as it ever goes.
I think when it happens, it's going to happen. Like,
yeah.
You know, I think this year it kind of feels like that. Like, you know, because sometimes it'll linger and linger and linger, or, you know, like an Indian summer, but I don't think so this year.
A Cleveland Indian summer? Is that what you said? You got Jay Jones.
Hey, they keep playing the way they're playing, maybe. Get my hopes up. No.
Well, I do have to tell you that I made maybe the best pork chops on the grill that I've ever made. And I was driving home yesterday afternoon, I thought, well, you know, it's been a busy week for Barbie. I'll surprise her with I'll go to like the meat shop and get, you know, really nice steaks. Or maybe first I'll go to Shaw's and see what the orphan meat department has.
Oh, my gosh, you are so funny. I was going to say, you missed the orphan meat
department? No. So I could have spent about, you know, $20-25 on a couple of nice steaks or one big one for us.
So you don't need to tell her where you got them.
Well, but I do. I'd like her to know that, you know, I'm being mindful of finances and I'm, you know. So I found these 1 1/4-inch thick pork chops in the orphan meat department that were $4.98 originally with another $2 off because, you know, the shelf date was today. So for less than $3, we had amazing chops that I did on the Big Green Egg, which is my smoker. Here's what I did. I took up some of the Healthy Solution spice blends. I took the beef rub. I forget what it's called. It's like, you know, fantastic beef or something like that. And I just lightly...
All of them are fantastic.
Well, you're right.
But go on, sorry.
But I thought of all the different ones, this one, you know, because beef and pork aren't that far apart.
Right.
So I did a rub on both the chops. And then I took that maple barbecue sauce we got at the Hopkinton Fair 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And finished it with that. So I threw it on the grill. And you can't believe a deep amber color with the grill marks on.
Caramelized,
but not burned.
Right.
It was. And then again, with the help of Mr. Magic, the thermometer, took it off at 145.
Thermopen.
It was the best pork chops I ever made. And so that's
my
new combination is dust it or rub it first with the healthy solution spice blends, the beef rub, and then use a barbecue or some kind of a nice sauce. I use the maple because I didn't really want a traditional red barbecue flavor to it.
Yeah.
And it was just stupid good.
Yum. And for less than $3.
$2.98 when I was ready to go spend, you know, about eight times that amount.
Yeah.
I'm glad I checked the orphan meat because they're screaming, take me home. You walk by there. And there wasn't much to choose from. Once in a while, you'll find filet in there. And that's when I go crazy because I scoop that up at, you know, about a quarter of the price and throw it on the smoker at home.
Cool.
So, you know, the orphan meat thing may be underrated. I think you folks ought to check it out.
Yeah.
I shouldn't give all my secrets away.
I don't know if they have that at Market Basket. I don't know.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't. I want to say it. I don't know. But then again, I guess I really didn't look for it. I'll have to, like, pay attention. And so do you think if I ask the head meat guy if there's an orphan meat department?
He'll look at you and go, what?
Well, that's what Mike says. Yeah. He says you have an orphan meat department.
Maybe. I don't know. That's a deal of the week for me, and it cooked up so beautifully. So
nice. Well, yeah. I have good news.
Oh, good.
I am so relieved. Last night we had our second class for scuba diving.
Yes.
And I passed my test.
Now, is this a written test or a water test?
No, this was a written test.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go over sections 1 and 2, which, you know, from Tuesday to Thursday, I mean, I'm kind of busy. Like, and the chapters are long.
Oh,
and I
really
want to make sure I'm reading all this because I want to understand this. And, you know, and some of it was a little difficult for me to understand. And, you know, this PSI and this bar and, oh, my gosh. So,
sounds like Deflategate all over again.
Yeah, right. So, and I didn't even finish the second. Daryl and I both didn't finish the second section. But, you know, as we were sitting there, the our instructor was late. Anyway, long story short, I passed.
Well, that's good.
I was very happy. I passed. I'm like, whew. I actually got a better grade than Daryl.
Oh, and did you let him know that?
Of course they did.
So you will be actually scuba diving this winter, right, or around the holidays?
Yes. Summer.
So do you think that you're going to want to kind of brush up on the basics before you go? Because you're taking a test now and you're passing it.
Oh, well, no. I haven't even gotten in the water yet.
Oh,
Tuesday,
okay.
We get in the water. Tuesday, Thursday next week, we'll be in the pool right at Diver's Den. And then we're going to, a week or 2 weeks after, we're going to do our open water dive.
Oh, when you go to Wanapisaki or wherever?
Wanapisaki.
Now, are there many people in the class that you're taking?
There is 7 of us.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
6 of us.
6 of you.
6 of us.
Now, do you buy stuff from them or do you rent it or what do you do?
Well, we bought our own. Usually, you know, well, I mean, it depends on whoever. But, you know, I Judy and Dick over there that own it, I've known her for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually you start with your, you know, you get your own mask and snorkel and your own fins.
Right.
And
the regulator, is that?
Well, you know, you can. It depends on how many dives. We actually talked about that last night.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how many dives you're going to do a year, you know, or, you know, whenever, however many dives that you're going to do. You know, your BCD, the BCD is the, the buoyancy control device.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
There we go. BCD.
All right, she gets that one right.
I have to like think about it. You know, that because then it gets, you know, for packing when you're going away, it, you know, so some people rent some things, but regulator would be like an item that you would get to be your own. They start in price from anywhere from $500 to $600 up to $1,200.
Okay.
And he talked about getting a computer too. They have like these new ones that are on your wrist, like they're kind of like a watch.
Right.
And you know, when you're under the water, it acts as your computer as well for diving, and it's personalized for you, like your dives that you do, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, so yeah. We haven't made that purchase yet. You know, but it'll be good because, you know, Daryl's birthday and Christmas and stuff, that'll be because he's really into this. I don't know if I'll be into it as much as he is.
Has he scuba'd before?
No, he had never even snorkeled up until we went to Cayman last year.
Really?
Never even
snorkeled.
What
are you doing to that boy?
You know, he had never been on vacation since before he met me. Never.
You mean like a fun, faraway vacation?
Never been on vacation.
Oh,
ever.
My. What's with that?
Isn't that crazy?
That is sad. Well, he's making up for lost time.
It is.
He picked a good vacation partner, I'd say.
I know. So.
So did they ask you what the letter SCUBA stand for?
No.
S-C-U-B-A?
Not yet.
Okay. That's probably a good one to know. That's always a good trivia question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's one of those things you hear in a bar once in a while. What does SCUBA stand for?
What does it stand for?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Hmm,
I'm sure you can Google it, but it's an acronym for, you know, something.
Okay.
So I'm sure you can impress your friends if you know that. Speaking of trivia, if we have prizes, I'd like to ask a question after 1 o'clock.
Definitely.
I got a really fun question today, so we'll.
We have prizes. We have Red Air Diner, Jay's Tavern, Mama McDonough's.
Oh, excellent!
So we are all good.
And in a few moments, we're going to dive, so to speak, into our comedy cold cuts, and we'll be kind of treading water. We're talking about supermarkets.
There you go.
Especially after the incident I saw yesterday with the person, you know. running out of market basket and the guy that had too many items, but that's a whole different story.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Today's food holiday, National Cheeseburger Day. Yum.
There aren't many foods better than a well-made cheeseburger.
Saturday, we're doing Kobe burgers for
Dad. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's his birthday,
Dad's
right?
Upstairs.
His
surprise birthday.
Well,
party.
You know, that we have a speaker that blasts outside the studio
I don't think he's listening.
No. How's his hearing?
It's not that good. So that's why I'm saying it. So, and my mother hasn't looked over to tell me to shut up. So it's all cool.
Okay.
So, yes, he loves Kobe burger. So I ordered some Kobe, which was a little difficult to find.
I was going to ask, just go to a nice butcher shop for that?
You do not. I called LeMay's first. They do
good
not.
Thinking.
They don't get it. And Tom, is that Tom that was here? I think it's Tom.
I'm pretty sure
it's Tom. He wasn't there. And okay. I think it was a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have it.
Boy.
Doesn't know if they can get it. I'm sure that they can because they ended up calling Butcher in Bedford. And he said he would research it and call me back, which he did, and he's getting it for me Saturday.
Nice.
So I'll have it Saturday.
Now, how many pounds are you getting?
You know what? Well, my brother, we're going to be about 20, 22 people. So
okay.
Brian got some lamb. We got some lamb, and we're going to do lamb and Kobe burgers. So I got 5 pounds of Kobe meat.
Very expensive, I would guess.
It is.
Probably at least $20 a pound.
No.
Less than that?
I think it was like 14. It's still expensive.
I mean, it's still a ground burger,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it is. I'll make the burgers and, don't do a whole lot to it.
No,
you know,
and they're pretty small. I mean, if you typically have a 5 or 6 ounce burger, you're probably doing 2 ounces, I would think.
I'll see. And then we're going to have a little burger bar.
With all the toppings and stuff. What does Dad like for his condiments?
Dad likes, of course, his cheese and not American. That's not really American cheese anyway. But, a cheddar or, a sharp cheddar is probably like his favorite. Cheese, bacon, onion, lettuce, tomato.
He'll be very pleased with his daughter.
I think he will. It's Brian, Kathy, and I, my brother, sister, and I. And so it should be cool.
Now, did you have any birthday games? Spin the tail on the donkey, or spin the bottle, or any of that stuff?
No, Dad's not a big gamer guy.
That would be a hoot though to see adults knowing.
It would be
after a couple of beverages.
Twister.
Now that's always twister. Yeah. Naked Twister's even better.
Oh my God.
Oh, Simon's better. Clothed, by the way.
Simon is clothed. Fun. Yeah. Okay.
And today in food history, I thought a couple of these was kind of interesting. Today in 1851, the first edition of the New York Times was published.
Really?
1851.
I would have guessed it to be older than that.
The first edition.
Okay.
The New York Daily Times, 1851, on this day. And also on this day, in 1990, a 500-pound, 6-foot-high Hershey Chocolate Kiss was put on display at Times Square in New York City.
Oh.
That must have been cool.
So what are they thinking? This is, September typically is still pretty warm.
I know,
why
right?
Why wouldn't you do that maybe in, March or April or even October?
Or even October, November. I agree.
So it was 5,000 pounds.
500 pounds.
Oh, 500 pounds.
Right. 500 pounds, 6-foot-high Hershey Chocolate Kiss.
And did they give people trowels and they could just walk up and kind of carve out a piece of chocolate and jam it in their pie hole?
I don't know. So that's that.
Wow. Well, a little later in the show, in addition to trivia, we'll be talking to Carol Mack, one of the new owners of Mack's Apples in Londonderry.
Meaning new owner, like in the family, it just changed family hands?
That's exactly right. Her father-in-law, Andy Mack, is the son, so it's he and Carol that are now the official owners. And it was just handed down, I would say, within the last couple of months. I ran into Andy there fairly recently and kind of got the lowdown. He was telling me that this year is the Mack Farm's 283rd harvest.
That's crazy.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Now,
that's awesome.
It is. Now, I remember a couple of years ago, there was a farm over toward the seacoast, and I can't think what town. It was Dover or, Rochester, somewhere in that area. And it was the oldest farm in New Hampshire, and it got sold. So I don't know if the Max Apples farm makes them the oldest now of continuous operation,
right,
which it has, which I'm going to guess is probably about eight generations now. And it stays in the family with Andy and his wife. Carol used to be the principal at Matthew Thornton Middle School. And the interesting thing is the farm was bought from Matthew Thornton back in the 1700s. Yeah,
cool.
So much history.
Yeah, lots of
400
history.
Acres. And you know, I love that place for the peaches.
Yes, you said that about the peaches.
Indeed.
And
yes.
We have Diane from Pembroke that has a food tip for us. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Hi. Just wanted to let you know one of my favorite things to eat is tortilla chips. And you know how you always have a bunch of little broken pieces in the bottom of the bag.
Yes,
that
always.
End up throwing away. I save those in one of the bottoms of the bags in the in my refrigerator, and then when I fix myself a salad, I sprinkle those on top.
That's a great idea.
That is a really good idea, and you got to put them in the fridge to keep them from getting stale. Don't they get
That's
stale
right.
even in the fridge?
That's right.
Now, how long will they last before they're just no good anymore?
I don't know. Mine don't last that long. I eat a lot of salad.
That's a great tip because, you know, nice, you know, a little bit of crunchy and it's, you know, as far as health-wise, too, those aren't, you know, those aren't too bad for
you.
Just a sprinkling.
I think they're zero cholesterol and, you know, they're probably a little better for you than croutons.
Exactly.
And it almost tastes like a taco salad.
Well, there you go. You can definitely make a Southwestern, put some, shave some corn on there and do a Southwest dressing of some sort, which
black
is
beans.
Black, yeah, there you go.
Very nice. I like that tip, Diane.
That
thank you.
That is a great tip. Thank you, and have a wonderful weekend, Diane.
Thanks, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye. We love those tips. Whenever you've got one, just throw it at
us. Definitely. 866-823-1077. All right, we're going to go on a short break, and when we come back, it's Comedy Cold Cuts. Stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. It's Food for Thought with Carol Lawrence and Mike Moore in 107.7 WTPL. We're brought to you by Ipswich Clam Bake on 2nd Street in Manchester over there on the west side. ipswichclambake.com. Also, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions of Bedford and Londonderry, and now brand new opening in North Conway, New Hampshire. All right, it's time for Comedy Cold Cuts. A fun segment every week. Laugh at the theme of food. And today, like last week, when it was all about vegetarians, today was not too difficult to find comedians talking about supermarkets. We all go there and we all see the crazy things that happen. I shared a story of two things I saw yesterday when I was at Market Basket. And today we'll begin our segment of Comedy Cold Cuts with Jerry Seinfeld, his supermarket experience on The Pulse.
Food is so complicated as an adult. It's just, you see people in the supermarket, they're just sweating it out. Nobody knows, what do I eat? The protein, the carbs, the fat content. Oh my God, fat content. We're just walking up to each other. You look pretty good. What are you eating? Maybe I'll eat that. The whole supermarket itself is designed to break down your sense of having any life outside the supermarket. It's like a casino. There's no clocks, no windows, no easily accessible exits. You ever not buy anything in the supermarket and try and get out of there? It's impossible. There's no way out. You can see what happens to people. When they're walking up to the supermarket, they really have a whole sense of purpose. I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, I'm going to pay for it, I'm going to get out of here and get right back to my normal life. You see that same person 10 minutes later just... What aisle is this? Why did I come up here? Oh, he's noticing something new. Oh, they got him in mesquite flavor now. What is mesquite? Wonder if it's made from mosquitoes. Produce section I always find very challenging. There's always some special thing you're supposed to know, you know, about each fruit. Summertime, make sure your peaches are, I don't know, whatever it is. You gotta fake it, you know, I'm shaking stuff, holding it up to the light. Yeah, that's a good one. Sure glad I found that one. cantaloupes rolling down the aisle. See the way that's fading left? That one's not ready. I don't want that one. I'm very impressed with this seedless watermelon product that they have for us. They've done it. We now have seedless watermelon. Pretty amazing. What are they planting to grow the seedless watermelon, I wonder? The melons aren't humping, are they? They must be planting something. How does this work?
Oh, my gosh.
And what kind of scientists do this type of work? I read a thing, it was 15 years in development. In the laboratories with, you know, gene splicing or whatever they do there, I don't know. I mean, other scientists working on AIDS, cancer, heart disease, these guys are going, no, I'm going to devote myself to melon. I think that's much more important. Sure, thousands are dying needlessly, but this, that's got to stop. Can you ever try and pick up a wet one off the floor? It's almost impossible. I really think we should devote the money to these studies. Milk is a big problem for people in the supermarket. They're never quite sure if they have it, if they need it. They bury it way in the back in the supermarket. You gotta find it, you gotta hack your way through all the displays. Well, there it is. There's the milk. Do we have any milk? People are never really sure if they have milk. You think you have milk, we might have milk. I know there's a carton in there, I don't know how much is in. Well, what should we do? Because you wanna be sure. There's nothing worse than thinking you have milk and not having it. You know, you got the bowl set up, the cereal, the spoon, the napkin, the TV, the newspaper, everything's ready to go. You go to lift up the carton and it's too light. Huh? Oh no! Too light. Or sometimes you think you need milk. Hey, we better pick up some milk. Like many of you are thinking right now. You know, he's right. Maybe we should pick up some milk. So you'll pick up some milk on the way home. And then you'll discover you already had milk. And now you got way too much milk. That's no good either. Now it's a race against the clock with the expiration date. That freaky thing. Now you're eating giant punch bowls of cereal, 3 meals a day. You're washing your face with milk. Bringing cats in from all over the neighborhood. Hurry up and drink it! Come on, it's almost time! Get back over here. Yeah. How do they know that that is the definite exact day? You know, they don't say like it's in the vicinity, give or take, roughly. They brand it right into the side of the cart and then they... Oh, don't screw with us. We know what day is the final day. And then it is so over. You ever have milk the day after the day? Scares the hell out of you, doesn't it? The spoon is trembling as it comes out of the bowl. It's after the day! I'm taking a big chance! I smelled it, you smell it, what is it supposed to smell like? Smelled like milk to me! I don't know how they're so definite, though. Maybe the cows tip them off when they're milking them. July 3rd.
There you go, Jerry Seinfeld, ladies and gentlemen, on Food for Thought. Today it's all about supermarkets. We all go in them, and Jerry's observational humor is just...
It's good.
I mean, when you think of his apartment on the Seinfeld show, there was always like 8 or 10 boxes of cereal lined up, you know, in his kitchen. He was such a bachelor, wasn't he?
He was. He definitely was. Do you know what? I have to confess something.
Oh, yes.
I have never in my life ever watched an episode of Seinfeld.
No way.
So you're saying that, and I'm going, oh, yes.
Thank you for dropping a dime on yourself.
It is true. It is true. I started watching it one day, and I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't do it for you.
Nope.
Initially, the first season, it didn't do that well. And, you know,
First couple.
Yeah, and they stayed with it, and we all, you know, the rest is history. It's one of the richest guys in showbiz. So he actually does a very funny thing on the internet. Called Having Coffee with Comics in Cars. Now, if you like the Jerry Seinfeld humor, basically he gets a celebrity. They drive around in one of his many Porsches or Maseratis, and they go to a little diner somewhere, and they sit down, and they talk and make jokes. It's about a 10 or 15 minute. It's like a podcast, but it's video. And then they jump back in the car and they drive back and having fun conversation. So if you're a Seinfeld fan, Coffee with Comics and Cars is something cool. You should look for. All right. We have, this is just a real quick one. Then we're going to take a break as we continue. Comedy Cold Cuts are always in the house. Comic Jim Gaffigan, who, by the way, is coming to Boston at the end of October, doing a bunch of shows at the Wilbur Theater. Tickets available now. For those of you that have become acquainted with him, thanks to Food for Thought, you can see him in person. Anyway, this is his thoughts on grocery stores.
I love going to the grocery store. Those free samples. It's always a little awkward after you have the free sample. You're like, ooh, sausage, yeah. Well, see ya. Sucker. Because you kind of act like you're going to get a case of it. Well, this would be good for a party now, wouldn't it? Yeah. Nah. Gotcha. When did we have to become members of all these grocery stores? Are you a member of our secret club? I'm just getting Doritos. Well, that'll be $4,000. Or you can join our club. I can't come to a lot of meetings. But I guess I'll join. I do feel guilty at checkout when they're bagging my groceries. Talk about feeling lazy. Hey, thanks for putting my groceries in my bag. Yeah, I could help, but I'll just watch. I'm exhausted from picking that crap out. You want to come home and watch me eat them? I'm looking for a buddy. This guy talks a lot about food.
There is Jim Gaffigan in Grocery Store. We're going to take a quick break. We're halfway through Comedy Cold Cuts, and I think, Carol, you'll love the next one. It's my favorite of the four today, Why Men Should Never Go to the Grocery Store. We'll share that next on Food for Thought on The Pulse. Be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hey, 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 it's Food for Thought, 107.7 WTPL. We're brought to you by Casey's Rib Shack. Famous Hickory Smoke award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue on 2nd Street in Manchester and Fallon's Furniture. The official decorator of the Green Room of Food for Thought. Of course, Ken Kale and Company as well in here 1 or 2 days a week. All right, let's continue on with our Comedy Cold Cuts. Do you ever send Daryl to the store to do any shopping, to get a couple quick items for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Right, he does okay?
He does.
Well, that's not always the case with men, as you can well imagine.
Dennis was bad.
Oh.
Send him for one thing.
Yeah.
And just one thing.
Uh-huh.
Comes back with 10 of the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yes. Not good. But go on.
Well, I think you'll enjoy this. I don't even know who this woman is, but I just happened to find it. And it's a very funny story. Her name is Jean Robinson. And this is called Why Men Should Never Go to the Grocery Store on The Pulse.
You get a lot more credit if you make it yourself. You can put it on your grandmother's platter, but the women in the kitchen will say, I know where she got that chicken. I'm telling you, it works out that way. And I make only one thing, and that is small little 7-Up pound cakes. I make them by the dozen. I'm out of town, something happens, left brain takes it over. And not long ago, got up one morning and heard that a friend of ours was sick and went to my freezer and my pound cakes were depleted. I did not realize I was out. He said, I've been taking them to a lot of people. A lot of people been sick. I said, well, I didn't know they were gone. I got to get a pound cake made before I leave town. Honey, go to the grocery store and get my ingredients. He said, I'm trying to get to badminton. I said, well, it's just a few ingredients. He said, I tell you what. I can get there and get it and still get to badminton, but you make sure I can go through that express lane. No problem. We don't go to the grocery store together anymore because I frankly don't care what things cost by the half ounce. So I made up the list and he left. Well, y'all, I waited. I waited. He didn't come back. I thought, he's gone on to badminton. And I thought, now, where could he be? I was getting ready to call the grocery store, and I heard the car pull in. He came huffing up the steps, had two sacks and more sacks hanging on his arms. He just glared at me, started putting stuff down. and said, I'll get some more out of the car. I looked in the first sack, there was a pound of margarine and two gigantic bottles of vanilla flavoring. Doling out a half teaspoon a time, it would take forever to get rid of these two gigantic bottles of vanilla flavoring. And in the next sack were three dozen eggs. I said, they had a special. I'll tell you, they have had a special. I didn't need but five eggs, and I just said a dozen. In the next sack was a big old thing of shortening, two of them. And in the next sack, two more, 12 pounds of lard. We could fry fish for everybody in here. But in that fourth sack, I found my list. And I'd like to step out of the kitchen just a minute to tell you something. Left Brain is a smart man. He went to Duke University on a basketball scholarship, played basketball for 4 years, and graduated in the same 4 years. Then he went to Carolina and got a master's degree and a doctorate. He has over-degreed himself. But I don't care how many pieces of paper you frame and put on the wall, if you have a left brain, it's going to kick in on you. And it kicked in on him about the third aisle of that grocery store. I'll step back in the kitchen. I found my list, and in my eagerness to make sure that he could get through the express lane, for probably the first time in my life, I numbered the items. Number one, a pound of butter, no problem. Number two, large bottle of vanilla flavoring. I had two of them. Number three, a dozen eggs. This man has a doctorate degree. Number four, a big, big tub thing of lard. I could hear him coming back. I looked down at number five. Said a 5-pound bag of sugar. I knew he was coming in with 25 pounds of sugar. And number six was a 5-pound bag of all-purpose flour. 30 pounds of flour. Now, I believe in accepting things you can't change, but I also believe in hounding things sometimes. And then sometime I let it ride. And this time, y'all would have been proud of me. I let it ride. I put that list behind my back. He came in again, plopping down sugar and flour all over. Bam, 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 bam. Gets it all down there and says, one more trip. I went back to my list and looked, and number seven was a bottle of 7-Up. I don't want that big bottle because if you're going to make one cake and you just use it, it'll be stale by the time I get back. I told him I wanted a 6-pack of those medium-sized ones hanging. So I knew he was coming back in with 42 bottles of 7-Up. And in a minute, there he was. I had just cleared a space for him right here. Back it up. Put them all down and turned around to me before he left and said, well, obviously, they wouldn't let me through the express lane. But you know what? He got all the way out in the hall and came back and he said, for the record, I figured out what I had done. But by then she was ringing up the 7-Up. And all these people behind me in line were laughing. And I got to get to badminton. Don't tell anybody. I said, I won't. 3 days later, I went to the grocery store. And a woman that was checking me out says, I think I checked out your husband a few days ago. I said, I'm sure you could have. She said, that was an interesting order. I said, let me explain to you. And she was from this area too, and this proves it, because I said, anytime a friend of ours gets sick or has passed, and both of us went, said, I make pound cakes and we take it over. This woman said to me, is there an epidemic?
Well, there you go. That's a lady by the name of
good.
Jean Robinson. And why men should never go to the grocery store. And it's funny, when you you know, when you threw your ex under the bus and said you'd set him for one, he'd come back with 10. I'm thinking, wait till you hear this routine.
That was awesome.
It was like you set it up perfectly.
I know.
You didn't realize it.
No, I didn't at all. That was cool. That was cool.
Well, that was a fun segment on Comedy Cold Cuts. And I can tell you what next week's is going to be because I've already fished out the cuts. It's going to be about waffles.
Waffles?
Waffles, and there's a whole lot of Waffle House comedy and music floating around on the internet.
I like Waffle House.
Yes.
Cool, that'll be fun.
Just so you know what's coming up next week.
All right. We are at the top of the hour. You're listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We'll be right back.